collaborative.
Experimentation.
The next idea.
We need a participation revolution, and we need it fast.
It's no secret that the American voter is sick and tired of politics, of politicians. We hear deep complaints about our state legislature. The road funding debacle is just one of many symptoms that show us that something is not working in our relationship with Lansing. Our latest contributors to The Next Idea offer up a new approach to our top-down planning, a way to give citizens an understanding and a voice in the decisions that need to be made for Michigan. It's called deliberative polling. Neil Carlson is the director of the Center for Social Research at Calvin College, and Allison Rudy is the center's project coordinator for the Kent County Deliberative Poll. Neil, in your view, why do most people, regardless of their political affiliation, think that Lansing's broken? It seems there's more going on than term limits or gerrymandering.
Well, that's right. There's a endemic, widespread distrust of all kinds of social institutions, Cynthia. There's distrust of organized religion, of lawyers and professions, doctors. The academy's numbers in terms of polling and trust levels are down. It's a generational phenomenon. And the irony is, I think it actually stems from a lot of good things that have happened. We're the beneficiaries of decades of democratization. Our society's gotten more complex. We have more division of labor. We don't understand what other people do anymore because we're not all living around a small village doing the same kind of work in the fields or working in a blacksmith shop where everyone can see what we do. And it's difficult for us to have a conversation where we don't immediately develop distrust because we don't understand what other people are talking about. And that includes politicians especially who, when they say, you know, what bothers them about how things are working in their neck of the woods, they have to talk about interest groups that we immediately suspect of ulterior motives.
It's interesting. You know, I was really struck in your essay for The Next Idea. You point out very clearly that, you know, as the population has grown, our knowledge has increased, and the economy has diversified radically, but our basic political practices have scarcely evolved. Allison, why haven't we seen much in the way of innovation in our democratic and political processes?
I think we try to stick to the Constitution and go back and say this is the way things were founded and maintain consistency, and people are afraid of change.
What do you think, Neil?
Well, you know, the irony is that the Constitution itself was a grand innovation, and our nation was founded on political innovation. And yet, Allison's right, we've gotten to the point where we associate innovation with entrepreneurship, with technology, but when it comes to touching the fundamentals of how we make political decisions, we're really gun-shy.
Interesting. In your essay, you argue that this process called deliberative polling that came out of Stanford University is a way that we could improve our public decision-making process. Allison, tell us, how does this work?
Well, first, to go back to kind of what the problem is, leaders don't value enough what residents think, what our opinions are, because there are issues with being uninformed. There are issues with just not being valued, and people don't think that their opinions are valued, so they don't show up to the polls. Our voting numbers are staggeringly low. So deliberative polling is this innovative method of gathering public engagement, gauging what the public thinks, and really helping them to develop informed opinions around a specific topic. So you bring together a representative sample, and Dr. James Fishkin of the Stanford Center of Deliberative Democracy, his standard sample that he's come up with, it works for no matter what size it is, a city or a full country, is 300 people. And those people look like the demographic makeup of that particular location. So you bring them together, you survey them on a topic, kind of gauge their one-off, top-of-the-head opinions about something, and then spend generally a day and a half to 2 days deliberating. So they get with a small group of strangers. They usually don't know the other people at the table, about 20 people, and process through these kind of moderated discussions with Stanford-trained moderators. But they take local people who are normally elementary school teachers and grad students. That's who they like to be the most kind of unbiased and neutral. And they help to bring each participant into the conversation. They process through these balanced briefing materials. They're kind of great educational materials about the topics that aren't too difficult to read, but it's got useful statistics to to really shape their thoughts about the topics. And then they go into plenary sessions where they're all in one room and they get to pose their questions that they've come up with in the small group discussions to leaders, to experts. And rather than the experts soapboxing, they pose those questions, they answer the questions, and they move on to the next one. So at the end of the process, they resurvey the participants, and you can learn so much useful data about how their opinions have formed and shaped and potentially changed through the process.
So this really is it's a hybrid of these public opinion polling and the kind of town halls and focus groups that we are very familiar with. This is kind of a hybrid, so you're getting a more representative picture of public thinking.
Exactly.
Now
that's
you,
right, and I think what Allison said a minute ago, Cynthia, is important, that when we say leaders don't value residents' opinions, it's not to say that leaders don't care about being the representatives they were elected to be, or as agency officials, that they don't care about the public. The problem is that we've developed a cultural common sense idea that the average person doesn't know what they're talking about and can't really give good input to a process like this. And therefore, the leaders justly ignore sort of run-of-the-mill feedback and seek information from those key stakeholders that they expect to have deeper, better informed information. And what the deliberative poll tries to do is give that average person the time to invest, to go from 0 to 60, to develop a little bit of expertise in the space. We don't expect people to become, you know, road planning experts or river restoration experts, but at least they can get a sense for the trade-offs that the public has to make. If we want more of one thing, we may have to give up a little of another. And that has, Fishkin has demonstrated, has incredible effects on how people answer the poll questions and how receptive they are to arguments and cases made by their neighbors.
And where most leaders do try to gather public judgment, they conduct town halls and focus groups. An average resident who's a working parent and works at night might not be able to attend a 6 p.m. focus group on a weekday night. So deliberative polling offers interpreters and translation, transportation, childcare, good food, lodging. So it's expensive, but everyone invited can participate if they choose to.
And you want to bring deliberative polling to West Michigan and really make it a permanent part of your local political culture. Neil, why did you choose transportation as the topic for this first poll?
Well, we've been gradually figuring out what the community is interested in. We started with a broad look at just the relations between governments in Kent County, because one of the most important political divides in the region is between core governments and outlying governments. There's a lot of tussling over priorities for funding and those sorts of things, and there's reasons for that. That's structural in the nature of our community. But then we found this GR forward planning process going on that is about restoring the Grand River. That has implications not just for downtown residents and people who live right along the part of the river that will be restored. It has implications for every resident of Kent County and for all of the other communities that are looking at renovating their own waterfronts. And within those conversations that we've been observing for the last year, transportation comes up over and over again as a fundamental core issue. How do we get places? Is parking available? Can I afford the kind of transportation necessary to get me to a particular location? So that has to do with, if we want to have a vibrant new economy along the Grand River or in Ada or Byron Center or Granville or Lowell or Rockford, we're going to have to figure out not only how to get the visitors from within and without the county there, we're going to have to figure out how to bring in the people who will work in the restaurants and the shops and the parks and all of the other things. It's all interconnected, and we all have a stake in it.
There was a statewide deliberative poll in 2009 that explored how to fund public services with declining tax dollars. How did that go, and how come there wasn't really much in the way of follow-up?
Yeah, that was a terrific event in terms of highlighting the potential of deliberative polling, because prior to the discussions in the pre-deliberation polling, there was evidence of a lot of polarization. People were opposed to sales tax increases, to income tax increases, and by large margins, and really weren't interested in funding any public services out of their own pockets. And at the same time, they were opposed to giving business a tax break, which most people in economics agreed was necessary to jumpstart our economy. after the discussion, which we know someone who was part of it, who says it was one of the most enthusiasm-generating, vibrant experiences of her lifetime to be involved in this energetic, community-wide representative setting. At the end of it, the support for sales tax hikes and income tax hikes in order to provide unemployment and welfare assistance to people who were down on their luck during the recession, that increased significantly to majority support in one case. And at the same time, the support for the business tax cuts also went up. So when we report in the media that, you know, a majority of citizens are opposed or voters are opposed to a particular policy, if that hasn't been tested through a process of discussion, we may not have revealed the real potential for constructive compromise and consensus building that our leaders can take into the legislature or elections or referenda or what have you.
That was 6 years ago, and here you are. Now you want to get this off the ground in Kent County. Where are you in the process for the Kent County Deliberative Poll, Allison?
So we have built an advisory group that we've learned is so important of about 70 local leaders in the nonprofit world, in the business world, in government, and some great activists in our community. And we've just been kind of trying to build critical mass around this, teaching or kind of exposing the community to it, making sure that when we do get the big event going, that people who are invited to participate will attend.
So what's the timeline you have in mind?
We are both committed to being patient and having the time right. So while I can imagine some folks might say they've said they're going to do this at this point or another point, we're ready to make it happen as early as the spring of 2016, and that's our current funding goal. But we postponed it happily several times because we feel like the most important resource for this project is the community consensus that we need to do it. And that's why we're pleased to be talking to you, is to have another chance to look for new partners to gain that critical mass.
Well, what happens after this one? You do this in Kent County. You have this deliberative poll. How do you continue on in Kent County and expand to other counties and communities around Michigan?
Well, thank you. We've had a lot of feedback on that. The ultimate conversations that are most important are probably at the regional level. And we believe that's an appropriate venue, as well as neighborhood level, for using this kind of tool. But we think the county scale is a good place for the initial demonstration project. We'd like to see it done at least once a year in some sort of West Michigan county or regional level. One potential discussion that's been mentioned many times is a Grand River watershed conversation, which has a lot of important implications for public policy.
And that could go as far as a Great Lakes deliberative poll. You can scale it up and scale it down very easily.
Interesting thoughts. Neil Carlson is the director of the Center for Social Research at Calvin College. Allison Rudy is the center's project coordinator for the Kent County Deliberative Poll. Their essay is on the next idea page at michiganradio.org. Neil and Allison, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cynthia.